Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today. Now we're going to jump right back into our series called Everyday Battles. How many of you have been in a battle this week? How many of you are battle weary? How many of you are tired? Today's not about being tired though, because we're going to battle no matter what. It doesn't matter. We're in a war. The Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are what? Mighty through prayer, through the pulling down of strongholds. That's what our battle is about. It's not about the physical war. It's not about physical things. But we do deal with a range of things in our battles. We deal with a range of emotions. How many of you have emotions? Husbands, do not punch your wives right now, okay? Do not elbow and say, you better raise your hand because you go through different emotions in 5 minutes. Listen, we deal with different emotions every single day. There's joy. Where we smile and we have, I had so much joy and happiness in my life that night of the 4th of July celebration we had. I smiled so much, my face hurt by the end of it. And by the end of it, after going down that slide like I showed you last week, my body hurt. But we have joy, we have fear. Some of us, we like to be scared on purpose. So what do? We watch scary movies. Or we go down roller coasters. Come on, somebody. Anybody a roller coaster fan? Love roller coasters, which, by the way, our young people, our young adults that Pastor Vance teaches are going to Six Flags this week. If you want to know about that, see him about that. But we have all these emotions, fear, anxiety, even depression and sadness, all these things. My family, we're movie buffs. I talk about movies and food in my messages. If you don't know that by now, then you ain't been paying attention. But we watch movies. And there's a movie called Inside Out. Anybody seen that movie? Oh, guys, it is so funny, but it is so accurate. See, the story is about a little girl named Riley who ends up moving with her parents to a brand new place, and she deals with all these different emotions, and they portray the emotions as little people in her head. There's joy, sadness, disgust, fear, and anger. There we go. That's the five of them. And they go through all these different things and all these different adventures. And it is hilarious to sit there and watch. But as I was sitting there watching the movie for the first time, we were absolutely floored at how accurate it was when it came to how we process emotions as human beings. They employed psychologists to talk with them about how the emotions affect us as people. I know that it was about a young teen, but it was also amazing how at every turn I could see how we as adults allow our emotions behind the wheel of our life at times. As we're going down our life, it gets behind our wheel, and sometimes joy will be the driver of our wheel. In everything that we turn, we're having a good time at everything, but all of a sudden, sadness grabs a hold of that wheel, and next thing you know, we're depressed and in a ditch somewhere. And then next thing you know, disgust grabs a hold of it. And everything we see, everything we hear, everything we taste, everything, we're just disgusted by everything. And then anger. I'm not going to go any further with that one right now. But see, as I read my text for today, I could not help but think about one of those characters in that movie. They're one of the main emotions that has some of the funniest moments. But they're also so real. When he reacts to things, I have to admit, I sat there thinking, yep, that's what I would do. Listen, that's the way I've seen my child. There's a particular scene I'm going to tell you about in a minute. But when I read this scripture, it'll be very easy for you to figure out who it is. In James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, it says this. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our souls. Let's pray. Father God, let my words be few, your words be powerful. And Lord, let us leave this place different than when we came in. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. So can you guess who I'm talking about today? Anger. Any of you ever been angry before? If you're wondering, sometimes, see, we have to fight to keep anger from taking hold some days. We have to fight to keep anger from being in control. We get mad at something, and next thing you know, everything we say, everything we do, everything we touch, everything we look at, everything is tainted by this emotion of anger, because anger is fighting for control. Anger's fighting for control, and the thing is, we have to fight back. Somebody say, fight back. We are fighting for control. Chris, keep up with me. We are fighting for control. I'm having to control my anger. No, I'm kidding. I love you, Chris. We are fighting for control. See, anger is something that is easy to run into every single day. I guarantee you, listen, if you are awake for more than 5 minutes in a day, you are going to have a chance to and the opportunity to get angry about something with someone. You're going to. I know personally, before when I get up in the mornings, Maybe your issue is this. Maybe the kids won't get out of bed so you're running late for work. Or you're running late for church. Or the kids are fighting and you're trying to go to sleep. You're trying to rest. Maybe you're getting mad about that. Maybe your husband snored so loud that he kept you up all night and you're wanting to take a pillow and put it over his face to stop it once and for all. Not me. My wife's in the nursery, so I can say that. Maybe you've been working on that deal that you've been working on at work for so long, and you're getting commission off of this, and you've been working on this deal for a long time, or you've been trying to build this thing, or you've been trying to put this together at work for so long, and all of a sudden, everything falls apart. You don't have the parts you need. You don't have the people you need. You don't have the money you need. And all of a sudden, everything goes wonky, and you can't do your job. And next thing you know, you're mad because somebody stepped in and messed up your situation. Anybody ever run into that? Or maybe you're mad because maybe your mother-in-law won't quit telling you, my daughter could have done better than you. I heard one amen on that one. I hope it wasn't too loud. But listen, maybe those are the things. See, most days that I get up, I have at least three opportunities on the drive into the office to get mad at someone because of the way they drive. Anybody ever notice that? Can we just admit something together? People in Calhoun County can't drive. Lord bless them. I love them, but they can't drive. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what a turn signal is. They don't know what lane to ride in. They just know, hey, I'm supposed to follow the dotted line. And they wonder. See, some of them just can't drive. You got young drivers. You got old drivers. The young drivers, they don't know when to stop. The old drivers, they don't know when to go. You've got the slow drivers that they're going 25 miles an hour in a 50 mile per hour zone, and you're going, oh my gosh, can you please move? I'm watching my hair grow in the mirror. And then we've got distracted drivers. I look in my rearview mirror and I see some lady putting on makeup while driving down the road behind me. And I'm not talking about just a little powder puff here or there. I'm talking about she's got like a stonemason's trowel, picking out clay and just looking, putting it all over her face. I look next to me, and there's a guy flipping on his phone and going up and down, up and down, up and down, not paying attention to anything going on. He got distracted drivers and slamming on his brakes because he's going to run into somebody because he's not paying attention. Somebody else on the other side, they're sitting there with a 5-course meal next to him because apparently they're sitting there cutting a steak and like picking up. I don't know what they're doing. Okay, I need to take my soapbox and put it back over in the corner over there. But I've got at least three opportunities on the way in, and I've got a 15 to 20 minute drive to get here. Even as Christians, opportunities to be angry are ever abundant in a spiritual sense. The social injustices we have to deal with in the world. We see things about sex trafficking and forced labor. I'm sorry. That's a soft spot with me and my wife, because it's something that, especially my wife, it breaks her heart to see. And she gets so angry. That's the reason why I have to be very careful about what I see and what I get involved with, because I will get angry about those kind of things. And the imprisonment of Christians. Let's be honest with you. It's not easy to watch that. You see, Christians, there's a couple that we sponsor as missionaries in the sex trafficking and forced labor area. That's the reason why we as Christians, we as a church support Christian and Rachel Stanley, is because they go and they go to places where children, boys and girls, are sold into sex trafficking at big events like, believe it or not, the Super Bowl is one of the biggest events where the people are sex trafficked. And they bring these kids in from all over the U.S. to this one place. And people, while they're there to watch the football, end up renting people. It's sickening. And it makes us mad as Christians. Right now, there are multiple missionaries all across this world that I can't even say their name, because if they find out that they're ministering in this particular country as missionaries, then they will either be deported or thrown in jail or persecuted. Right now, even this year in January of 2025, there was a local pastor in Uttar Pradesh, India's most populous state, that was released in January. He was released after 20 months, him and his family, after 20 months in prison simply because of their anti-conversion laws. You cannot tell people about Jesus and try to win them to Jesus. We can sit there and get mad at the degradation of Christian values in our nation. Right now, some of y'all's blood is starting to boil. You're starting to get mad about these situations. The degradation of Christian values in our nation, where we have to explain and protect our right to bring a Bible into the schools. Yet, in the libraries, they've got books that give graphic explanations of sexual acts and try to convert other people to other religions and try to tell people there is no God. And we get mad about those things. We want to shake our fist at one political party or the other and scream, "It's your fault! You did this to us!" Anybody ever felt that way? See, we as Christians even have a name for that way of thinking, and we call it righteous indignation. Righteous indignation. And we fight for it. We believe that we're right. It's our cause. And we believe that if our cause is righteous, then we have a right to be angry. Can I tell you something today? The moment we gave our life to Christ, we let go of our rights to anything. And so there's going to be some people that are going to argue with me on this. So I want you to hang with me. This is not one of those that everybody's going to come up to me and pat me on the back. "That was a good pastor, preacher." Or, "That was a good sermon, preacher. That was a good sermon." No, this ain't going to be one of those. There's going to be some people walk away, they're going to go, "I don't know about that." Because I get mad about those things. Listen, the Bible even says, "Be angry and sin not." So I'm not saying that anger is a sin. But what I am saying is this: uncontrolled anger can be devastating to a Christian. It can be devastating to a person. If you're with me, say, "I am." I've got to hurry up. I've got, oh gosh, there's so much I want to share with you today. You see, unchecked and uncontrolled anger is a destructive force that does not play favorites between the godly and the ungodly. Anger is a poison and a cancer that eats away at the very fabric of our being and has the potential to destroy every aspect of our lives if we let it, especially our Christian walk. Your one wrong word, one wrong action that is done out of anger in a public forum can ruin that Christian walk. Are you with me? But anger fights for control, and we've got to fight back. Everybody say, fight back. See, uncontrolled anger is unproductive in the life of a Christian. And that is straight from the Word of God. It is straight from the Word of God. Uncontrolled anger is unproductive in the life of a Christian. Anything that is uncontrolled is dangerous. In transportation, if a train is out of control, it is dangerous. If a car is out of control, it is dangerous. If a boat is out of control, it's dangerous. A plane is dangerous. An animal out of control is dangerous. Years ago in 2021, there was a dog that was out of control. It was a German shepherd that went to attack a young girl. I forget where it was, but her little brother, or her big brother, who was 7 years old, a young man by the name of Bridger Walker, protected his sister and laid on top of her while this German shepherd dog that was uncontrolled by its owner and uncontrolled by anyone around, bit at him and tore his face and his head to pieces. I saw pictures of it while I was doing my study this week, and it was amazing. It just horrifying. He had stitches from the top of his head here all the way down through his cheek, through his eye, all the way down into his chin and into his neck, and his face was so swollen. And the nation rallied around him. And celebrities called him, the superheroes at the time that were the one that ones that were playing superheroes in the movies, Chris Pratt and some of the others, Robert Downey Jr. and some of those, they would call him and say, "You're our hero." But it was all because of an uncontrolled animal. Even a small child who is uncontrolled can be a dangerous thing. Can I get a witness from a mama and a daddy in the house? One of the scariest things that you can hear inside of a house with a toddler is silence. Come on. I remember watching a video. I'm going way off target here. But I remember watching a video of a kid, and they were trying to feed birds. And nobody was guiding the child and showing him how to feed the birds. He had bread in his hand. He was trying to feed this bird. The bird wouldn't take the food. So what did he do? He grabbed the bird by the neck, squeezed as hard as he could, tried to shove the food. That was an uncontrolled child. Just about killed the bird. Nowhere in Scripture, listen, nowhere in Scripture does it speak of anger as a positive thing in our lives to have. Yet we as Christians, we accept it as part of who we are. Nowhere in the Scripture does it say that anger is something that is positive to have in our lives. Scriptures that speak about anger always tell us that the dangers and the struggles and the anger that it will bring. In the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 7 equates anger with words like burn or destroy. In 1 Samuel 20, it speaks of anger in a phrase that says boils with rage. That does not sound like something positive. I mean, when you get home, husband, would you like it to be said that your wife is boiling with rage? No. I'd rather her be overflowing with love and beauty. New Testament. The New Testament, we're told to get rid of it. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." Everywhere in Scripture where it mentions anger, it says to put it away from us. Get away from us. That's trying to teach us something. Even as Christians, when we look at these social injustices, we need to be careful that anger does not take control of our will and that we act out of anger in trying to rectify the situation. Are you with me? You can discipline a child without acting out of anger. We can share the gospel without screaming and hollering at someone because and yelling at them they're going to die and go to hell. I know of pastors, I know I'm talking loud, but I talk loud because I get excited, not because I'm mad at you. I know some pastors, they can't preach unless they're mad. And they want to throw stuff. I'm just not that way. Our text today says that anger doesn't do what we think it does. James 1:20 says, "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Anger is unproductive in the Christian life. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. That word righteousness, when you look at the meaning of it, it means justice. Just because you get mad about it and scream and holler does not mean that you are bringing justice to the situation. Are you with me? Many times you're not doing anything but stoking the flames of someone else's anger. You're pouring gasoline on something instead of pouring water on it. And you're stoking the flames. We do that a lot in the political realm where somebody will make a comment that we don't agree with, and we get on there and throw our comment on there, and we start throwing our 2 cents in about our political candidate, and next thing you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until all of a sudden we've got an entire community that is choosing sides on who they're going to side with. I hate that kind of stuff. Don't y'all? It makes me feel nasty. It also means that word righteousness also means a proper relationship. Just because you're angry about some injustices does not mean that you have a right relationship with God. Now, that one's hard to hear. Just because you get mad because of sex trafficking, just because you get mad because somebody says something that's wrong about the Bible, just because you get mad because the Olympic Committee allowed transgender form of the Last Supper, just because you get mad about it doesn't mean you've got a good relationship with God. I know plenty of people that got mad about that who don't live a life that's right with God. Your anger does not prove that you are righteous. Your anger does not prove that you are right. Are you with me? So what does anger produce? What does anger produce? Let me tell you, the first thing it produces is strained relationships. Proverbs 29:22 says, "A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger calms a dispute." Are you working to solve the situation, or are you working to get your point across? Are you with me? See, it's awful quiet in here now. Y'all were laughing at some of my jokes earlier. You were having fun, and then all of a sudden I got up all in your business. And we don't like to be told that what we're doing is wrong. We don't like to be told that we can't be mad about something. Anger can lead to conflict and division among friends, family, and communities. There are right now families who haven't spoken to each other for years because of a simple disagreement that caused anger between the two of them. And next thing you know, the family is fractured. There are churches that split on a regular basis because of stupidity. And yes, I use the word stupidity, because they can't agree on the color of the carpet, because they can't agree on the color of a hymn book. I remember a story that a Christian comedian talked about one time of a church that split because they could not decide. They did a big mural on the side of the wall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. There we go. I almost said Gethsemane. In the Garden of Eden. And the fig leaves that were on Adam hung a little bit low. So they had to make a decision on whether Adam had a belly button or not. And so on one side of the church, they were arguing, saying, well, he was never born of a woman, so he had no umbilical cord. So what is the purpose of him having a belly button? But on the other side, people were going, well, he was the model for all men. So if we have a belly button, he had to have a belly button. And they fought back and forth and back and forth, and the church split over it. Now you understand why I use the word stupidity. We argue about the craziest things. things that don't matter in the long run. Meanwhile, we've got people that are lost and dying, being sold into slavery. We've got people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and pornography. We've got people that feel like they don't matter and that they're lost. We got people so deep down in depression that they don't care if they've got a belly button. They've got a razor ready to cut their own holes in their own bodies just so that they can feel something. Yet we want to get angry about little things because of our righteous indignation. Are you with me? When anger controls you instead of you controlling it, you will see cracks from your relationships. Or you'll see cracks in it from your relationships, and separation start to happen from those close to you. It'll also cause... It causes strained relationships. It also causes spiritual consequences. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 says, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. And give no opportunity to the devil." When you allow your anger to steer your life, you are giving the enemy an opportunity to steer you into an embankment that is going to wreck you for life. Are you with me? Allowing anger and bitterness to remain in a seat of power gives your enemy a place to sit at your table. Oh, come on. Y'all missed a great opportunity right there. I don't want the enemy sitting at my table. My word says that, but he prepares for me a table in front of my enemies. He takes care of me, so I don't have to fight. There's a saying that I always say, because we're sitting there, but what if somebody attacks me? What if somebody attacks my life? What if somebody attacks my beliefs? I've had that happen plenty of times. Listen, y'all, pastors, we love people, and we love churches, but there's a reason why the Word of God calls people sheep, because sheep bite. And sometimes people have bitten me. I've had plenty of times where people have... I had a young girl look at me dead in the face when I was leaving my very first church. And she looked at me and she said, "I hate you and I'm glad you're leaving." And her mom sitting right there, who was the former pastor's wife. I've had a mother call and chew me out because I had to ask her to do something to help in a situation in a Sunday school class. I've had all kinds of things. And I've had people try to smear my name. They call me fake. They call me everything else. And something I learned a long time ago was I don't defend myself. I let my character defend me. My character is what defends me. The moment I open my mouth in anger, I do nothing but hand the enemy a tool to beat me with. Are you with me? Anger is all about itself. It's selfish. It's about my right to be angry in the natural sense that you're right. In a spiritual sense, when we accept Christ, we give up that right to be right. We trade our sin for His righteousness. We trade our pain for His healing. We trade our struggle for His victory. We trade our anger for His peace and His love. It produces strained relationships, spiritual consequences, but it also produces a damaged witness. As a follower of Christ, our number one priority is to represent Him well. Are you with me? It's to represent Him well. When anger is in control and the foundation of our actions, the love and the humbleness of Christ will disappear from our lives. Colossians 3:8 says, "But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander." You notice the first three have to do with your emotions. Anger, malice, and wrath. You with me? Slander and obscene talk from your mouth. Uncontrolled anger will damage a Christian's testimony, hindering their ability to effectively witness to others about the love and grace of Christ. You ever notice when you get severely angry at something, there is a buzzing or something that just all of a sudden gets in your head and you can't hear anything? You can't think straight. You can't act right. you can't say anything right, and you don't hear any word that is coming out of the other person's mouth because you're too busy thinking about what you're going to say to throw barbs at them. You see, that leads us to what the way to keep anger in its place. How many of you want to keep anger in its place in your life? Keeping anger in its place is very simple. James 1:19, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. First two steps of controlling anger are found in this verse. The first one is quick to hear. And when he says quick to hear, he means quick to hear from God. Before you start getting angry and before you start spouting about your right to be angry about a situation, have you gone to God and asked him how he feels about it? Have you gone to him and asked him how you should proceed at that moment? When James wrote this, it comes on the heels of him writing about the testing of your faith. In the middle of the trials and the situations that you're going through, it's easy to get frustrated. It's easy to get irritated and even angry with God. Before you get angry, though, have you taken the situation to God? Have you asked him, what should I do, God? Have you looked at his word and found out what he said on the subject? If you haven't, then you haven't done everything you can to keep anger out from behind the wheel. Wow, we got quiet in this Baptist church in here. I love y'all. Do y'all love me? Hang on now. We need to hear from God. We also need to hear from others. Usually when we're wronged or hurt and become angry, like I said, our ears stop up, especially when talking with those that hurt us. I remember a young girl that was in I was at my second church as a youth pastor. Everybody's like, man, you tell a lot of stories. Yeah, I got a lot of stories. This young girl, she was probably 13, 14 years old, 15 years old, somewhere around there. And I was trying to correct her on something because she was doing something horrible. And I was trying to correct her on an attitude that she was having in a church service and the way she was speaking in a church service. And she got so mad at me. You know what she did? She took her fingers and did this so that she couldn't hear me. Imagine a 14-year-old person sticking their fingers in their ears like a 3-year-old, saying, if I don't hear it, then it's not real. That's what we do when we ignore other people's side of things and we ignore this dialogue of talking back and forth. Let me ask you something. How mature are you in your walk with God? Are you mature enough to stand there and carry on a conversation even though you disagree? Or are you stopping your fingers up in your ear with your anger? Saying, I don't want to hear it. Are you with me? Anger takes over and covers up our ears during the conversation because we don't care what their excuse is or why they did it. It was just wrong to us. We avoid them and refuse to even acknowledge them. There is a whole process of reconciliation in Matthew 18. And the very first step is this in verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. See, we'll tell people their fault, but most of the time we do it on Facebook so everybody can hear it. We do it on Instagram. But we do the passive-aggressive thing. You better keep my name out your mouth. Don't be talking about me no more. Don't be talking about my family. You know who you are. I ain't going to put no... Well, everybody else knows exactly who it is, too. So quit putting that junk out there. Stop hanging your dirty laundry on the line for everybody to see. Because what you're doing is you're not trying to resolve the situation. You're trying to see how many people you can get on your side so you can be angry even more. Come on, to be justified, come on. I'm going to let my brother preach. It just amazes me how we do that. But it says, go to him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. There's other steps that you can go through after that. But the first step is to go and talk and carry on a conversation and listen. If you're holding on to something from the past, have you talked with them yet? Now, I'm not talking about have you gone and talked to them. I'm not talking about have you gone and talked at them and told them everything that is wrong in their life. I'm talking about have you gone and had a conversation with them to try to understand them and why they did what they did. Are you with me? We have to listen. Be quick to hear. Listen with the goal of understanding, not just giving them a chance to apologize, because anger is selfish. It wants to be right. Kick anger out of the driver's seat and understand that God has called you to love one another first. Love God. Love people. Make disciples. It's that simple. Quick to hear. Slow to speak is the next thing as the worship team comes. Be deliberate in your words, weighing each one like a stone in your hand. See, I had an illustration last week, the ropes. I should have brought in a stone today. Because many of us, we walk around with a pocket full of stones ready to throw at people with our words. Because we don't like how they treated us, or we don't like how they treated somebody else, and we start choosing sides. And next thing you know, we let anger get behind the wheel, and he puts his foot on the gas while we're throwing rocks out the window. And we don't think about who we're going to hit. Be deliberate in your words, weighing them like a stone in your hand. When anger is in charge, we launch our words like projectiles. When love is involved, we build altars out of those stones. Think about that. Your words, they may have the weight. And you may be right. But you can either launch them at someone and stone them to death with your own words, or you can build an altar of forgiveness and an altar of reconciliation and bring them together. And you both kneel on that altar and say, hey, let's get this thing right. Are you throwing them at them, or are you using those stones to build? And the last instruction as we stand today, if you would stand with me, the last instruction from James is this. James 1:21, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. James takes anger and lumps it in with the worst of the worst. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Right before that, he says, be slow to anger. And he's basically saying, that's something that you need to put into that filthiness, into that rampant wickedness. It's something you need to get rid of. And he says, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. James lumps anger in with all the other sins and says, get it away from you. Anger is just like fornication. Anger is just like hatred. Anger is just like every other sin in this world. It's to be avoided. But what about righteous indignation, Pastor Aaron? If anger is the basis for your actions, then you have lost sight of what God has called us to do. The Bible says that we are to love our enemies. The Bible says that we are to love one another, and that's how they're going to know that we're disciples. Not because we're angry about a situation that is not against, that is going against God's word. Yes, I'm meddling today. He tells us to trade our anger for meekness. He says, and receive with meekness the implanted word. That meekness is what we need to receive with. He tells us to trade that anger for meekness, selfishness for humbleness. Exchange being right for being righteous. With that humbleness, we receive the implanted word, the truth of God. That word implanted. We've already heard the truth, and it's already planted in our hearts. But what soil are you planting it in? Are you planting it in the soil of love, or are you planting it in the soil of anger? The seed of truth cannot grow in the soil of anger and bitterness. Where anger is dangerous and hinders relationships with God, it is receiving His Word with a humble heart that creates an atmosphere for growth.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.